Good morning. We've got scripture reading this morning. It's going to be from Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. To him we must give account. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13.
You and I rejoice in it. The unbeliever is confounded by it, and the devil must be terribly upset by it. But it is true nonetheless. The Bible remains, year after year, the world's best seller. Despite the ravages of time, the onslaughts of its enemy, the neglect of its friend, the Bible still remains the bestseller year after year after year. And even though, as some have said, it is the most neglected bestseller, because so many more are bought than are read and fewer still are followed, still we rejoice in the fact it remains the world's bestseller. And that for a reason. This book is not the work of men. It is the work and the very word of God. The text we just read together in Hebrews 4 reveals to us a bit of why the Bible is so important and so valuable to so many, even after all these years. It is alive, it is powerful, it is sharp, it is penetrating, even to the joints and marrow, the soul and spirit, the thoughts and intents of the heart. And interestingly enough, all of that, in a way, is saying the same thing about what this Word of God is. It's truth. And because it is truth, it continues to be relevant. It is alive. Because it is truth, it is powerful enough for its ideas to change the lives of those who heed it. And because it is truth, it cuts right to the very core and the very quick of our very natures. There's no hiding from it, no changing what it says to mean something else, because as truth, it is what it is and hits us where we are. And if we're honest with it, with an honest and pure, an honest and good, an honest and just heart, we are changed powerfully by it, generation after generation after generation. It is alive and powerful and penetrating. And of course, this, as we mentioned, is because it is not the word of men, but the word of God. The works of men, in terms of volumes of writing, literature, they're fairly short-lived. Many write books that never even really find the first edition sold out. Others have to make several editions in their own lifetime, but as soon as the author dies, so interest in the writing dies. Some few authors, like Shakespeare and others, have their words remembered still hundreds of years after their writing, but only the Bible stands for its age and its quality over the years, as it has even today as the world's bestseller. And thus, if you ask, well, how do we know the Bible is alive? Just look to that fact. Look to the fact that the same word that educated and illuminated peoples of centuries back and peoples of lands far away of languages far different than ours and the original languages, those people from time immemorial have used that same word that you and I have access to this very morning. When you're consoling one who's lost a loved one, you can go back to the wonderful words of the 23rd Psalm, words which go back beyond even the New Testament age and even before Jesus' flesh to the time of the Old Testament and the time of King David. Because those words remind us that we're not alone, that God cares about us, that even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, you're with me. Now, that message meant a lot when it was first written. It's eased and consoled the hearts of those ever since, and even to this very hour. People who are facing difficulty like the loss of a loved one are always hearkening back to that ancient text, Psalm 23, because it's just as alive today as when David first penned it. Because those aren't David's words. They're the words of heaven written by David. And what is true of the 23rd Psalm is true of so many other texts. In fact, truth of the Bible itself. Every part of the Bible is relevant for its time then and as applicable for our time today. Yes, we live under the new law, not under Moses' law. That's true. But the principles of both have carried forward. And the word that God has given stands the test of times in ways no other book ever has. In the way surely no other words of anybody has ever stood. The Bible stands alone as alive from generation after generation. How many of you know Latin? I stand before you proudly saying that I probably know as much as you do, which is almost none. And the reason for that is not because we're all ignorant people. It's that Latin is a dead language. You might learn it to learn how some of our words came to be when you dig into the etymology of the English language. So much is based upon the Latin. And so most of us know Latin from that, from the origins of words or suffixes or prefixes we use on language. But the language itself, if you learned it, what would it matter? Because nobody else speaks it. It's a dead language. If you want to go to France, learn French. If you want to go to Mexico, learn Spanish. If you want to go to, well, no, Latin's a dead language. And so because of that, as the language has died, aside from some esoteric interests, the language is no longer interested to most people. Some nations are like that. Nations have died. What happened to the great and mighty Roman Empire? It is no more. There are vestiges left, but as an empire, it has collapsed. And if you run the list of nations, and even more so countries, that in the last few hundred years, in the last 100 years even, have ceased to exist, nations and peoples and cultures die. But through all of that, the Word of God lives. It's alive. And because of that, it has tremendous power. It's alive and powerful. And this power is the power to change us from the inside out. And it goes to the very core of personally what the Bible does for us that's so very vital for us. Yes, it directs us and shows us the way to heaven. And yes, it instructs us and shows us what God wants us to be and be about. It enlightens us to realize what life is all about and what our lives should be all about. But as a part of all of this and even more, the Bible is meant to change us from the inside out. It's not just a matter of facts to be memorized or passages to be studied. It's a matter of truth to be absorbed and made a part of us so that we begin thinking like, we begin acting like, we begin talking like the Scriptures. They become a part of us and we a part of them. You may recall the first of the Psalms, Psalm 1, that contrasts a blessed man with one not so much. The one not so much is the one who finds himself walking with, standing alongside, sitting down with the sinners and scornful of his day, who listen to what the world is saying. But the blessed man, he's unlike that. The blessed man enjoys, drinks deeply of, loves the Word of God and meditates in that Word day by day. And the blessed man, drinking deeply of God's Word, is like, the psalmist says, a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also does not wither, but flourishes. The ungodly are not like that. Those who listen to the world are not like that. They're like the chaff which the wind drives away. You notice the psalmist begins this wonderful book of Psalms with a picture of somebody who is truly blessed. His life is well-rounded. He's content and at peace. And why? Because he's listened to God and God has changed his mind, his life, his way of living. And that Word of God, he doesn't just read it. He doesn't just study it. He doesn't just memorize it. He absorbs it. He meditates upon it. And because of that, it's changed his life. If you want a better life, change the input into it. If you want a better perspective, change what goes into your mind. If you want to be a better attitude and brighter contentment, take in a different message. And the best of all messages is the ideas found in the truth revealed in the Word of God, which itself is truth. It has the power to change people from the inside out. A real case example? Well, the book of Acts, chapter 2. A great throng in the thousands of people there at Jerusalem gathered around to celebrate Pentecost. Many of these that Peter is preaching to have just days earlier cried out, "Crucify him," and have the very blood of Jesus Christ on their hands. And Peter reminds them of what the Scriptures of old have said in prophecy about this day, what Joel had said, and in prophecy about what Christ would do, be buried and be raised again, and how they, those he's speaking to, with wicked hands have slain the Son of Glory. He says, "Let the whole house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, notice the next words in Acts 2. When they heard these things, they were pricked or cut to the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, question, what cut their heart? What pricked their heart? It's what they heard. What had they heard? They'd heard the Word of God through Peter. And what had that Word done? As they accepted it and absorbed it in their own thinking, they realized, we're wrong. We've been in error. We've committed a colossal mistake. We've sinned. What can we? What shall we? What must we do? Well, Peter tells them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is unto you and unto your children, unto all them which are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward, this sinful generation." And notice the next verse. they that gladly received his word were baptized. And there were added unto them the same day about 3,000 souls. Now, if you haven't noticed it, the church has just begun. Before Pentecost, it didn't exist. John had said, the kingdom's coming, it's at hand. Jesus has said, the kingdom is coming, it's at hand. But it's not here until Pentecost Day when Peter preaches and people hear the word and by the word decide to change their lives by the sacrifice and blood of Jesus. And everything for them and the world has been not the same since. The church has begun. What changed them? Well, that's a loaded question and not a fair question, because a number of things changed them. God changed them by his grace. Christ changed them by his sacrifice and by his blood. They changed themselves by accepting the word. Save yourselves, Peter told them. But in the mix of all of this, and really foundational to every bit of that, is the word they had heard that spoke of God's grace, that revealed Christ's sacrifice, that gave them means by which they could obey and become Christians. That word of God changed them. And those who were lost became saved. Those who had no hope now had hope. Those who were headed to hell now are heading to heaven. And all because of the power of God's word to change them. No wonder later Paul will write in Romans 1 verse 16. I'm not ashamed, Paul says, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The Jew first, also to the Greek. The power of God unto salvation is not what I say, not what you say, not what the world has to say. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God to salvation. That word that God has given is alive, relevant, and powerful. It changes you and me and all those who listen to it, even after all these years. But this next is what so fascinates me. It is true, the Bible is amazing in its relevance. And it is stupefying in the fact that it's always powerful enough. If we'll heed its ideas and bend to its teaching, we can change our lives for the better from this point forward. Everything can be different if we'll just listen to what God has said. It has tremendous power. But in that power, I'm fascinated by the next words that the writer of Hebrews uses. And the imagery he uses of a sharp, two-edged sword. He's using an image based upon his own time. I wonder if he were using language to accommodate our age, if his language might be a bit different. In fact, the best word we have to describe what he's talking about here today is the word laser. You know, something sharper than a sword, well, it's a scalpel. Something more penetrating, exacting than the scalpel, a laser. Many of you have had laser surgery. Some of you have had laser surgery on your eyes. Before all of this, the idea of somebody getting a knife, a scalpel, and prying apart your eyelids and working on what's inside, well, it's discomforting at the very least. But a laser, we still don't like to think of it, but it's a lot more exacting. A lot more precise. And the two-edged sword, or a sharp, sharp scalpel, or the precision of a laser, speaks to what the writer is trying to get across to us. The word of God does that in our lives. And again, it's because it is truth. That's what truth does. that which is close to truth but not quite is not the same. That which is foreign to truth and is a lie is not the same. But you take true, pure, unfiltered, unadulterated truth on any subject and you've got reality what is. And when you want to know what you need to be about, what life is all about, what you need to be doing, what God has provided for you, strain away all the falseness of the world and all the false voices of the world's experts and take the truth of God's word and it'll take you where you are and show you where you need to go. It'll do away the nonsense of your excuses, the ridiculousness of those ideas you have that are foreign to what God has said. They cut right to your desires, your interests, your needs. They go right to the quick of who you are. It's amazing that this book that is so ancient. Have you ever thought about how many books have been written since the Bible? Hundreds of thousands of millions of books written since the Bible. And yet you want to know how to get to the quick of who you are, of what you're thinking, of what you need to do to change yourself for the better. Forget all the rest of the books. Just go to this ancient book. And it's speaking to you in 2024. And you wonder, how did it know? How does it know what I'm thinking? How does it know what's tempting me? How does it know what needs I have to be addressed? How does it know? Because God gave it. And God didn't just give the word. He made you and made me. And he made these two, his word and us, to go together. He made us, as it were, and our set of instructions. What makes you tick? Spiritually, look at the Bible. Where'd you come from? What's your origin? Who made you? Look at the Bible. What's the best way to operate as a human being? Look at the Bible. You want to know what happens when you die? Look at the Bible. And with its sharp, laser-like focus on what matters and straining away all the untruth of what doesn't, the nonsense of what doesn't, you have here a word which is alive and powerful and cuts to the very quick of who you and I are. And thus it makes all the difference in the world whether or not we listen to it or not. And by the way, you wonder, well, why is this verse in Hebrews for that very purpose? The ancestors of those who first read this book, they had given up on God's word and walked away from it. And God had promised to take care of them if they'd be true to him. Well, they weren't, and they lost their faith in God. And what the writer is saying is the problem never has been what God has said. It's certainly not who God is. It's our refusal to listen and to learn and to change ourselves by that word he's given. My friend, this morning, if you're not a Christian, don't blame God for that. And you can't blame his word. His word shows us exactly what to do. Those in Pentecost heard it years ago. The same truth is true today. You can be saved today just as they were then by doing exactly now what they did all those years ago. And Christian friend, if you walked away from God, don't blame him. His word of comfort and truth stands just as clear as when you left it. Come back. But if you need to come this morning, we bid you do so now, as together we stand and sing.
Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life.